I'm wanting to ask you as a believer, those of you that claim Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, what is your brand? That's a fair question. I'm not talking about you where have a fish logo on the back of your car. I'm not talking about, well, I go to this particular church and therefore I'm proud of my denomination. And I think everybody ought to be thankful for the denomination that they have. But are you branded for Christ? Do you have that brand? Do you wear that brand? Is that the most important brand? I enjoy all the rest of them, but you can take all the rest of that stuff, but give me the brand of Christ. Let me have what the Apostle Paul was talking about in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He makes this statement right there that is so great. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. All of us do something that makes a difference. It's been, I don't know how many years it's been, but it's probably the last 10, 15 years, I think. There's such a resurgence in having body art. I mean, that's something that people do all the time, and it used to be something that you saw sailors wear their anchors on their sleeves and stuff like that. But it's something that's a definite resurgence because it makes me an individual. And some of it's gorgeous. I mean, some of it's really beautiful. That some of the work that's done is very, very artistic. But when I think about not only that, but I think about who we support, what we do, who we identify with, all these kind of things, I come back to this one thing. In a certain sense, do you really know each other? In that kind of a sense, we really are still strangers to each other. I said, well, no, I know them. I know them very well. Do you really? I mean, even your closest friends, do they know everything? Do they know every inkling in your life? Do they know, what I think is so important, the influences of your life? Do they know about your heredity? Do they know about your environment? Do they know how that you were brought up? Do they know the countless moral choices that you've made in your personal life? I think those things are very important. I think that because it describes who we are. You know, we're Americans especially, they put on a good face. They put on, this is who I am, and, okay, see me. I know guys, they're wealthy, and they're all this. No, they're not. They're broke. The bank owns everything. But the facade that they like to put out. But what drives you? What really, truly drives you? What if you could say it, what is your motivational force for living today? People, I'm driving at something here today. I'm wanting you to think about something today because I think it's important. Later in that same book of Galatians, the letter that Paul would write to the church at Galatia, he makes a statement in this. On in the sixth chapter, the 17th verse, he makes this statement. He starts out by, from whenceforth let no man trouble me. Now, he had plenty of place, but this is the important part. For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. What is our brand? What brands me? What makes me different? Do I acknowledge that Jesus Christ owns me? Remember, I talked about this a couple weeks ago, but I can't get away from it. Christ's ownership of me. He owns me body, he owns me soul, he owns my spirit. I am branded for Jesus Christ. I make no bones about that. Everywhere I go, I'm not going to hide it. You're a what? You're a preacher. Yeah, that's who I am. Yeah. Pull it in, rein it back. Yes, I am that guy. But I'm a believer. I believe in the Lord Jesus. Forget about the preacher part about it. I will acknowledge Christ's ownership of me. When Paul said he was branded for Christ, he was making a statement that the five wounds of Jesus, Let me clarify that. He's not St. Francis of Assisi. He's not saying that. Some of you can recall reading in history about him, 1200s somewhere. Oh, God, that was a long time ago, 800 years ago. But he was made this statement that he literally physically had the brands in his feet, in his hands, you know, the thorns, the whole bit. And the side from the spear, the whole bit of Jesus' hand. That's not what Paul's saying. Paul's saying internally, I wear those brands. Internally, I have those wounds. Internally, these are the things. It's not an outward identification, because that's not what I want, or it's not what I'm looking for. But I have a spiritual identification, and this is what's important. I have been crucified with Christ. Yes, I get to live, I get to breathe, I get to do all that. But who is it that lives within me, and his name is Jesus Christ? And that's what's important. How was he branded? Well, first he was branded by a task. I mean, there was something within him. He had a devotion to a task, something that God had given him. Could you imagine? Tradition describes. Now, Janet, this is okay. You'll feel great about this, I promise you. Tradition describes the Apostle Paul as 4 feet 6 inches tall. You're a giant. There we go. 4 feet 6 inches tall. That's what tradition says about him. But after all the things that happened to him, all the beatings, all the things that took place, I can only imagine 4 foot 6 was his college weight and height. You know, and then he went down from there. But if tradition is true, he was the greatest dwarf that ever lived. Because he gave forth something. He outpaced everyone. He outprayed him. He outpassioned all of his peers. He brought power. The dynamo power that they got in Acts chapter 2. Paul had it. And he said, this one thing I do. And I promise you, people, we can say that, but he meant it. This one thing I do. He was blind to everything else. Nothing else was important to him. The only thing that he wanted to do, he wanted to glorify Jesus Christ. He wasn't worried about what people said. He wasn't worried about what people did. Amen. It's been the power of his life and everything. And it was a great influence on so many. John Calvin was one of the great theologians of his day, and he still is one of the great. But he was reviled. You would understand that? You know, I give him grief because I don't agree with him on a lot of things. But he was reviled and belittled for the time that he spent writing his institutes. And he spent hours upon hours. They said, why don't you do this? Why don't you? He said, because it's one thing I do. I want to do this right here. Can I tell you what Paul was? He was separated to spirituality. That's what he was. His whole being was about being spiritual. You put him on Mars Hill. What did he say after that? I don't want anything to do with that. Great intellectual. Incredibly smart. I mean, he would be the kind of person, if you wanted somebody to argue for you, that'd be the guy you'd want. Because he was that wise. He had all that. How many of you have ever been in a situation you wish you'd have said something, but it comes to you about 3 days later? God probably spared you from sticking your foot in your mouth, you know, because it wouldn't have changed anything. I mean, I always had those great ideas, but they always come later than when I think they're going to come. But after Mars Hill, after his arguing with the poets, after he did all those things with all those great philosophers, he poured contempt on all that junk. He says, it's not interesting. It's not what I want to be. I don't want people to remember me that way. So he said, I will die daily to the temptation of being to prove my wisdom, to outwit somebody, even though I'm sure he was great at doing that. His task, this one thing I do, this one demand upon my life, this one devotion that I have is to win souls to Jesus Christ. That's all that he wanted to do. He didn't want to debate anybody. He didn't want to go there anymore. Could he? Yes, he could have. Put you to shame. But he wasn't interested in that. Because the places that he went, that would never have been accepted. It was not what he was. He went to places unsponsored. He went to places unwelcomed. He went to places where he was unloved. But he went every time. Why? Because he was wanting to make a difference. He wanted to make, it didn't make any difference to him. Because why? Because he was blinded to every jewel that the world would possess for him and say, this is what you need to have. He was deaf to every voice that said, oh, come, we want to praise you. This is great. No, he didn't care about that. He wasn't interested in that kind of stuff. He was insensitive to the dreams that people modeled for him. Could you realize that he was a Pharisee? I mean, he could have sat at the top of anything. He could have worn the long, glamorous robes. He could have been everyone. But what did he say? I have a devotion, but my devotion is to one task, and that is to preach Jesus Christ, him crucified. That's what I'm here for. That's what I want to do. He was branded not only by his devotion, but he was branded by humility. Oh, that's a tough thing. Humility is a very, very hard thing because sometimes it's a little heady. Any of you ever said things like, how do I look? Do you really want that answer? I look in the mirror at times, I'm going, no, I don't want to know how I look. Okay, forget about that thing. And Johnny, you look great, brother. I'm glad to see you this morning. I'm glad you're here. But when we ask it, sometimes it's a tough thing. But he never fished for a compliment because his humility was so great. Who did he say he was? You know, we would place the Apostle Paul, kind of like I place Mother Teresa in our generation. I place Mother Teresa at the head of the class. A godly person who loved people, who gave her life for people, for the cause of Christ. The Apostle Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the worst of the worst. Everybody's better than me. Yeah, that's it. That was his statement, and he meant it. He wasn't saying that so you feel sorry for him. He was saying it because it was true. And that's why he would write in Philippians chapter 3, he said, what things were gained to me, these things I count but loss for Jesus Christ. That's what I count them for. You see, there's great virtue in humility. There really is. And why would it be that way for him? Because he says, I have nothing to lose. I've already been there. I have nothing to lose. I can present Christ. And if they accept it, they accept it. If they don't, well, he had no opinion of himself. He wasn't grand in his own eyes. He'd already been up there. He's already fallen to the bottom. He had no more place to fall to. But where he was on a rock. And he adored that very meek and quiet spirit that made him who he was and as wonderful as he was. Yeah, he could have worn the elaborate garb. He could have dressed in the pharisaical robes. He could have been the head of a college. He could have done all of those things that would have vaulted his name. He wasn't interested in that. His name was Saul when he was interested in that. But when he became Paul, he was changed. He was branded by humility. He was not only branded by humility, he was branded by suffering. Something that we try to want to run away from. You remember in when he writes in Romans chapter 8, he says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Remember that? Then he lists all of these things out there that would take place. He said, famine, peril, nakedness, sword. I mean, all those things I think of as attacking the body, the physical ailments, the discomfort that we're here. How about tribulation? Remember when he says that? How about tribulation of the mind? The things that would go on in your mind. What do they think about me? How is this going to take place? What's going to happen over here? We all have tribulation of the mind. These things take place. Distress, persecution of spirit. Those are the things that he listed here in the 8th chapter, the 35th verse of Romans. He makes all of these things. But what did he really want? He wanted to make war on anybody that was against God. He wanted to love people and stand up for people that believed in Christ. That's what he was there for. And he did that. He was willing to suffer no matter what the cost for the very fact that Jesus Christ was what was important. Look at that man's body. Look at it. It looked like a cadaver. I mean, that's exactly what it looked like. That was his cadaver. He was scarred, beaten every time you turned around. He had a stoop figure. You think 4'6" is tall? I imagine he was about like my grandma when it was all over. You didn't mess with my grandma. She knocked the fire out of you. 4'6" was at the height of glory. 4'1" may have been at the end of the day, but you still didn't mess with her. But this was man's body was stooped, brutally stoned. How many times that day? At Lystra, remember that? Starved. 36 hours in the Mediterranean Sea. His body, his skin was pickled by the salt of that sea. They totaled this up. I wish I was smart enough to do all these things. 195 stripes was he given. 195. Three shipwrecks. Can you imagine? Three shipwrecks. How about three beatings with rods? Now, we're not talking about, oh, that hurt. Oh. I'm not talking about a switch you got when you were a kid. I'm talking about a rod, and they beat him. But the X factor, the one that we all run and hide from, it's called loneliness. None of us want to be lonely. Not one of us want to be that nobody, as he writes, he would write this to us in 2 Timothy. He said to Timothy, he said, no one stood with me. Nobody. They'd all deserted me. Talks about Demas gone. He's all out there. But then he replies with that right behind it. He says, but this light affliction, which is but for a moment. Can you imagine? He stood before Nero. Nobody stood with him. No one was there to argue for him, to compliment, to say, this man's not worthy of what you're doing to him right now. But he said, nobody but Jesus. Jesus stood in me. And because he stood in him, he said, it didn't mean anything. I think if I got beat like that, I'd be telling people about it. If I lived to tell about it, probably wouldn't live through to get it. But this is the brand. This is what took place to him. He was branded by suffering. He not only was branded by suffering, but he was branded by passion. That man was one of the most passionate people. How do you think? He made a statement one time, and it's found in Romans chapter 9. He makes a statement that's, and I wrote it down because I thought it was so important, that he had to have been in the dead center of God's will. Can you imagine saying that about yourself? Are you in the dead center of God's will? Everything that you do has been focused. It's all right down here in the center of God's will. All the time? Man, he was walking a tightrope right there. That's the way that I look at that, of obedience unto God. And he makes the statement, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. What was he saying? I want the Holy Ghost to witness my witness. This is my witness, and I'm going to call on the Holy Ghost to back up my witness. Would we dare do that in everything we say and do in life? I wouldn't. I could not do that. I couldn't do it. I could not do that. But he called on the Holy Ghost to bear witness to his witness. People, if you could just get a little bit of that light, a little bit of that flame that just flew out of him, the things that he was, that's what was within Paul. That's what made him so passionate about who he was, what he had to say. If we could just get a little flicker of that light in our lives. Man, every preacher needs that. I need more, way, way more. You know something? Think about what took place in his life. Think about the beatings. You know, those beatings couldn't cast out that flame. Couldn't do it. It wasn't going to happen. Fasting and hunger, that couldn't kill the flame. That flame would still, it was going to glow. Misunderstandings. We notice like misunderstandings. How about being misrepresented? You like that? You like somebody to say something about you that wasn't true? None of us like that. Nobody likes to hear something said about us, but he had misunderstandings, he had misrepresentations all the time that never, ever quenched the fire that was within him. It was not going to do it at all. Water couldn't drown it out. He proved that. Stayed out in the ocean. David had all those shipwrecks. Prison. Think about how many times he was in prison. That would never break him. It would break most men, but it wouldn't break him. Not because he was mean, not because he's ugly, none of those things, because he had a great love far greater than what they could do to him in prison. and on, all the things that took place in the Apostle Paul's life. He was branded. He was branded for Christ. He was the living passion of Jesus Christ. But all those things come down to this fifth part. This, to me, would be the fifth of the wounds that he bore for Christ. He was branded by love. You know, we all think we know what love is. We do. I think, now guys, you that are younger, you think you got it down? Wait till you're a little older. Really, I'm serious. I think that's really true. When he was saved and his life was changed, when he became a man in Christ, maturity was the only thing that grew love. It's the only thing that changed him. Can you imagine the opposition that he had towards the church and all the things that he did there? Could flip that thing completely around. And his love that came out, the love for Christ, the love for people, the love that he had for enemies. I mean enemies. All of those that were against him all the time. The love that he had for hardship. I promise you, I would never love somebody beating me with a rod. No. That's just not what I would love, but that's what he loved. What did it do for him, that love? It carried him everywhere that he went. He went to those that were lost. He went to those that were placed last. He went to those that were the least of anybody. What an example. And it's been the example that some have picked up and have followed through the centuries. All because of him losing himself for Jesus Christ. My friends, that's the scope of love that you could all go for. That's the kind of love that every one of us need. He loved those intellectuals of Mars Hill. He did. Oh, no, he argued, yeah, he debated, he did all those things. But his love really was that their eyes would be open to who Jesus Christ was. He loved even the religious traditionalists, those that were hanging on to their robes and to the law and to all of that. He loved those people. He loved them so much. He makes the statement that he would go on. He said, and this is also in the ninth chapter of Romans. He says, "For I could wish that myself were accursed for Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." He said, if I could die, if God would throw me out, but would keep all of them in, I'm willing to do that. That's his passion. That's his love that he had for people. But it wasn't because he was anything. It's because Christ was everything. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I get to live. And the life I'm living right now, it's only because of him. It's only because of who he is within me. He loved the prodigal in the marketplace. He was willing to go anywhere and everywhere out of love. You ever read his prayers? I mean, I know, it's just scripture. No, it's more than scripture, people. The prayers that he had were so incredible. Everywhere you turn, they were all motivated by love. And those prayers of love were copied, if you will. And I think it's one of the greatest form of flattery that we've ever had. Very few men have ever prayed like Paul prayed. Maybe a Robert McShane, one of the greatest, but dying young in his 30s. I mean, he was great. He was fantastic. But he lived way, back in the early 1800s. But he had that kind of love. He patterned his prayer life at that. John Fletcher was that kind of a man. He loved the Lord so great. And then there were others that would be David Brainerd. I can't imagine the sacrifice that he would make for the people that he loved. To give up his physical body for those that he loved. All of these men were great soul winners. And there have been great women that have been done the very same things. And the prayers that they could pray were incredible. There was a depth of their spirituality. Why? Because they were great lovers. Yeah. The great love for Christ, the great love that they had for men's souls, that's what made them different. Can I say something? If you ever turn to the book of the Revelation, You ever heard what's going to take place one day? One day, millions, you won't get a vote. You'll have to accept what the Antichrist gives you, his mark. You will be branded by that mark if you're still in this world. You'll be branded by that mark. You don't get a vote on it. That's something that's going to be taken. But you will be branded by that if you're still here. Can I tell you this, though? He's not here. Jesus is here. And today, you can choose. You can choose to be branded by the Lord Jesus Christ. You can choose to put him on and live after him. You can choose to be branded as a servant of our master, and his name is Christ. That's what you can do. But you have to choose that. That is something that you would choose. So I'm asking you this morning, are you willing to choose to be branded? Are you willing to let the name of Christ, the life of Christ, the love of Christ be seen in you and you and him alone? Forget about who you are. Forget about what your ideals are, who you think you are, what your brands are everywhere else. That those are all secondary. This brand is his brand. And it's the only brand. It's the only important one. Paul made it clear, I'm crucified. Yeah. These are my marks because these are Christ's marks. These are the wounds that he bore. I bear them also, but I bear them inside myself. And what was inside came out. It was a glorious deliverance from the life that he lived to the life he longed to live. Is that who we are? Is that what Christ has done for you? He was branded. He was branded for a cause. I hope and pray that we can say the very same thing about ourselves. Let's pray.